Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call today. We are very fortunate to have Her Grace Radhika Kasturi Mataji. Mataji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 24th Chapter, 54th Verse. Hare Krishna Mataji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Mataji, I am here on the call. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada, all goes to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. All glories to Guru and Gauranga. We'll start with Vitrastra's prayers. Aham Hare Tava Pade Kamula Dasanu Daso Bhavitas Nibuya Manasmareta Supate Gunamste Grinetava Karma Karotukaya Nanaka Prashtam Nachaparamishtyam Nasarva Bhavan Narasadipatyam Nayoga Siddhira Punar Bhavamba Samanjasatva Virahaya Kamshi Ajata Paksha Iva Mataram Kaha Tanyam Yatavat Sarastu Dharta Priyam Priyeva Vyushitam Vishanna Manoravindaksha Drikshate Tvam Mamotamas Loka Janishu Sakyam Samsara Chakre Brahmata Swakarmavi Tvanmaya Yatma Majadara Geheshwa Ashatta Chittasya Nanata Bhuyat. Okay, so let's move on to the Canto 4, Chapter 24. And first, I'd like to summarize what has happened so far. And then we can go to the purport and read the purport of the 54th verse. So in short, we are seeing that Prachetas, the son of Prachinabari, the son of grandson of Prithu, is receiving the prayers of Lord Shiva. When you look at the verses 16 to 30, what happens is that because of the pious nature of the Prachetas, they faithfully sought to execute their instruction of the father. While proceeding to the west, they came across a large reservoir of water from which emerged Lord Shiva, who was accompanied by the musicians glorifying him. Lord Shiva began to address to them. Lord Shiva explained that Krishna's devotees are very dear to Lord Shiva and that they are respectable as the Lord. So the devotees themselves are very, very respectable as the Lord. That's what Shiva explained to the Prachetas. And if you look at the verses 31 through 52, Lord Shiva has shared a special transcendental mantra which glorifies the Supreme Lord. Lord Shiva expresses his desire to see and be enlightened by Lord's exceptionally beautiful forearm form, and he elaborately describes. Lord Shiva explains the purifying effects of meditating and serving on the Lord through Bhakti Yoga. Though difficult to perform, devotional service alone can satisfy the Lord and give protection from the influence of invincible time. Lord Shiva begs for the association of pure devotees who are free from material bewilderment. So this is what has happened so far. And we can go to the 54th verse, 4.24.54. Bhavan bhakti matalabhyo durlabha sarvadehinam swarajyasyapi abhimata ekante natmavit gatihi. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Let's look at the translation. My dear Lord, the King in charge of heavenly kingdom is also desirous of obtaining the ultimate goal of life, devotional service. Similarly, you are the ultimate destination of those who identify themselves with you, Aham Brahmasmi. However, it is very difficult for them to attain you, whereas the devotee can very easily attain your lordship. Purport, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau, this indicates that it is very difficult for one to attain the ultimate court of life and reach the supreme destination, Vaikuntha Loka or Goloka Vrindavana, simply by studying the Vedantic philosophy or Vedic culture. However, the highest perfectional stage can be attained by the devotees very easily. That is the meaning of Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau. The same point is confirmed by Lord Shiva in this verse. The Lord is very difficult for karma yogis, jnana yogis and jnana yogis to attain. Those who are bhakti yogis, however, have no difficulty at all. In the world, swarajasya, swar refers to swargaloka, the heavenly planet. The swarajya refers to the ruler of the heavenly planet, Indra. Generally, karmis desire elevation to the heavenly planet, but King Indra desires to become the perfect in bhakti yoga. Those who identify themselves as Aham Brahmasmi, I am the Supreme Brahman, one with absolute truth, also ultimately desire to attain perfect liberation in the Vaikuntha planets or Goloka Vrindavana. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvatah tatomam tatvato nyatva vishate tadan anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is only by devotional service. And then one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of Godhead. Thus, if one desires to enter into the spiritual world, he must try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by practicing Bhakti Yoga. Simply by practicing Bhakti Yoga, one can understand the Supreme Lord in truth. But without a such understanding, one cannot enter the spiritual kingdom. One may be elevated to the heavenly planets or may realize himself as Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi, but that's not the end of realization. One must realize the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by Bhakti Yoga. Then real perfection of life is attained. So we can tackle the subject of devotional service. Before that, we will do our prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udireth Shrinuvata Swagata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanah Hridayanta Sohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Sugritsadam Nashta Prayeshu Abhadrechu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakayam Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girin Yat Kripa Tammaham Vante Shri Guru Dinatarini. My humble obeisances to all the devotees here on the call. Please accept my humble obeisances onto your lotus feet. And please bless me that I am able to deliver something to you. And with the mercy of Guru and Gauranga and you Vaishnavas, I make the best use of the time that is available to me. And may I give some realizations to you, all devotees. Thank you so much. Okay, so now we can actually see what this verse has to see. So my plan is that I plan to tackle only one area, which is the area of devotional service, and what devotional service means in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then what does devotional service mean in Bhagavad Gita, and then maybe talk about what devotional service means in Bhagavatam also. Again, the whole book, if you see, it's all about devotional service. So it is difficult to get across everything. But I can just put some parts of what is being told in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavatam. So my first exercise would be to talk about what devotional service is. What is the definition of devotional service? Again, by Rupa Goswami from Nectar of Devotion. Anya bilachita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhaktiruttama. Madhya Leela 19.167. Pure devotional service is activity intended to please Krishna without ulterior motives and not covered by philosophical or fruitive pursuits. So we'll first talk about devotional service from Chaitanya Charitamrita. In one of the lectures, Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj actually instructed everyone to memorize this one wonderful verse. This verse was Sadhu Sangha Nama Kitana.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message.
Mataji, I'm getting an error message. The recording has reached the limit. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'll check that, Mataji.
Okay. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kitana Bhagavata Shravana Maturavasa Srimutira Shrataya Shevana. Madhyalila 22.128. One should associate with devotees, chant the holy name of the Lord, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, recite at Mathura, and worship the deity with faith and veneration. So if you look at this verse, this is a very powerful verse from Madhyalila, and Mahaprabhu describes the process of devotional service to Sanatana Goswami. In the beginning, he describes the truth about living entity and the super excellence of devotional service. He then describes the uselessness of mental speculation and mystic yoga. So what he says is, in all circumstances, living entity is recommended to accept the path of devotional service as personally explained by Mahaprabhu. The speculative method of so-called jnanis is considered a waste of time and is proved in this chapter. The intelligent person should abandon the process of karmakanda, jnanakanda, and mystic yoga. If they are going to pursue that, it's going to be a waste of time, and at the end of their life, they wouldn't have accomplished much. So it's not worth experimenting. There are 64 listed items in regulative devotional service, and out of the 64, the last five are considered very, very important. And first one is one should associate with devotees. Second one is chant the holy names of the Lord. Third one is hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Fourth one is recite at Mathura. And then the fifth one is worship the deity with faith and veneration. If you look at Madhyalila 22.129, it talks about saying these five limbs of devotional service are the best of all. Even a slight performance of these five awakens the love for Krishna. And if you move on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues to glorify these five limbs of devotional service. So this is going to be citations from Madhyalila 22.130 to 135. What is told? With a love and full faith, one should worship the lotus feet of the deity. One should taste the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees. One should associate with the devotees who are more advanced than oneself and one who is endowed with a similar type of affection for the Lord. One should congregationally chant the holy name of the Lord and reside in Vrindavana. Next one is, the power of these five principles is very wonderful and difficult to understand. Even without faith in them, if a person who is offenseless can awaken his dormant love of Krishna simply by little connection with them, they can surely do so. When one is firmly fixed in devotional service, whether he executes one or many processes of this devotional service, the waves of Godhead will awaken. The last one says, there are many devotees who execute one of the nine processes of devotional service. Nonetheless, they get ultimate success. Devotees like Maharaj Ambrisha executed all the nine items and they also got ultimate success. So how much glorification to devotional service? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, each and every verse, he says that even if you do one of them, that's going to be enough. So that this gives us a lot of confidence that the dormant love of Krishna consciousness can awaken in us. And love of Godhead, I know, is very difficult to be attained. But nevertheless, we have to give it a shot and keep trying, keep on trying till we achieve the perfectional stage. So if you look at this, what is more amazing is if we analyze how Srila Prabhupada has made a structure of ISKCON based on the five limbs of devotional service. And in one of the lectures, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, he said that Prabhupada has actually designed the ISKCON system in such a way that anyone who is engaged in Krishna consciousness in ISKCON is automatically performing these five activities. The first aspect, as you can see, is Sadhu Sangha. Anyone who is in ISKCON is getting the association of sadhus. Similarly, anyone who is in ISKCON must attend Bhagavatam class or at least read for some time every day. So this is how one is reading the scriptures. And anyone who worships the deity, although not all of us has a chance to go and worship the deity in the temple, But indirectly, we do our Mangal Aarti and morning program at our home, and this will automatically take care of the third one. Then comes residing in the holy dham. All temples of Krishna are non-different from Goloka Vrindavana. Therefore, those who are living in the temple or those whose consciousness is in the temple are actually residing in Mathura. In this way, Prabhupada has given us a simple process for Krishna consciousness. And now I realize, okay, why so many devotees always stress that we have to remain in ISKCON or be in the association of devotees and serve the local temple. Again, for us, we don't have a local temple. For people like me who don't have a local temple in their location, it's Bhakti Sangha that is equal to the temple. Then do our sadhana bhakti. We will surely make progress in our spiritual life. So that is what I conferred. So Prabhupada has made it simple for us, and all we need to do is just be part of the association, be part of sadhu sangha, or be part of your local temple. Do your sadhana bhakti and have your consciousness always tuned to Krishna, and everything will automatically flow in itself. Now, it is my duty to offer humble obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vande Shri Chaitanya Devam Tam Karuna Varam Kalavapi Ati Guhyeyam Bhaktirena Prakashita. So it is said, I offer my humble obeisances, respectful obeisances on to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the ocean of transcendental mercy. And although the subject matter of Bhakti Yoga is very confidential, he is nonetheless manifested it so nicely, even in this age of Kali, the age of quarrel. All glories to five limbs of devotional service. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Again, that quotation was from Madhya Leela 22.1. So this was about what devotional service, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya, I mean, what is the feeling of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on devotional service from Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is also one other example. I think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was an occasion where Raghunath Das Goswami and Ramanand Das go and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu welcomed Raghunath Das Goswami, but he did not welcome Ramanand Das, and that was because of his attitude. His attitude was more focused on merging with Rama. He used to always recite Ramanam, but his attitude was more to a point where he wanted to merge with the effulgence of Ram. And he did not like that attitude. He condemned that attitude. And when he came to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was not so pleased to welcoming him as he did with Raghunath Das Goswami. This also clearly shows that devotional service or Bhakti Yoga is the way to go. And people should not waste their time on other marks that we have, which are very cumbersome. At the same time, they don't yield the result that we would need. Moving on, so we will talk a little bit about what Bhagavad Gita has to offer. And I'll specifically go through this verse 15.5. Are you all able to hear me so far? So far, so good?
Very good.
Okay, good. Nirmana mohajita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvandvai vimukta shukha dukkha samye kachantya muda padam avyayam tat. So this is 15.5 from Bhagavad Gita. Translation, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are free from the dualities of happiness and distress, who are unbewildered, know how to surrender on to Supreme Person, attain to the eternal kingdom. This is the translation. I'm not going to, I can talk about the purport, and then I will move on to the understanding of the purport. The surrendering process is described here very nicely. The first qualification is that one should not be deluded by pride. because the conditional soul is puffed up, thinking himself the lord of material nature. It is very difficult for him to surrender on to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should know by the cultivation of real knowledge that he is not lord of material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord. When one is free from delusion caused by pride, he can begin the process of surrender. For one who is always expecting some honor in this material world, it is not possible to surrender to the Supreme Person. Pride and delusion, for although one comes here, stays for a brief time, and then goes away, he has the foolish notion that he is the Lord of the world. He thus makes things complicated, and he is always in trouble. The whole world moves under this impression. People are considering the land, this earth, belongs to the human society, and they divided the land under the false impression that they are the proprietors. One has to get out of this false notion that human society is the proprietor of the world. When one is freed from such false notion, he becomes free from all false association caused by familial, social, and national affections. The faulty associations bind one to this material world. After this stage, one has to develop spiritual knowledge. One has to cultivate the knowledge of what is actually his own and what is actually not his own. And when one has the understanding of things they are, he becomes free from all dual conceptions such as happiness and distress, pain and pleasure. He becomes full in knowledge. Then it is possible for him to surrender on to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the purport for this translation, 15.5. I'm going to share some of the realizations of various senior sannyasi disciples. And this one is just going to be, I'm like a parrot, I'm going to repeat what they have told, because all this is a philosophical concept, and I want to make sure I get it from the right source, and I share it with you. So as you can see, everybody is dependent on Krishna, and Krishna is independent. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has given us the important conception, and he has told that Krishna is actually not independent. In the sense, he is dependent on devotion, and he falls flat for the pure devotees. And he gives himself to the pure devotees who love him so much. Where is this possible? How can we understand this concept? It's so difficult. I mean, God is always independent. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed this confidential information to us to make us understand that he is capable of surrendering to a devotee who fully surrenders to him. This, when I heard this concept, this was something that I did not know for years. And I regretted why God did not tell me about this concept. And I really felt that had I known this, I would not have wasted my life thus far, right? And that made me to think. And after that, slowly my interest started to develop on the subject and science of understanding the science of Krishna consciousness. I'm totally indebted to the whole Bhakti Sangha Association for helping me progress, understand the science of Krishna consciousness. And even though I may not have realized everything, I certainly owe and be indebted to the group forever. With that, we'll move on to this and try to understand part by part as to what this verse means for us. Okay, the first one is freedom from false prestige, and I also wanted to include lust in it. For this, if you see Baladev Vidyabhushan's commentary on humility, humility is of three kinds. The first one is kapadanya, superficial humility. That is, externally you are humble, but internally there is a motive. That motive could be anything. And Krishna doesn't like that. That is superficial humility. Bhautik danya, that is the second category. Here, the humility is coming from people on the materialistic platform. And again, not the spiritual platform. So this is somewhere in the middle, but Krishna doesn't like this also. The third one is vatsavik humility, which is what the real humility is. It is further divided into external and internal. External humility is the one that we would show, paying obeisances, being respectful to the others, being respectful to the devotee friends. Externally, you are showing everything possible, in terms of humility and expressing it externally. The second one is the internal humility. And Vatsavik humility itself, we see two categories. One is external, another is internal. Internal is, again, we are considering an example here. The servant is eating pastries. Again, he's in your house. He's using all the necessary ingredients to make a pastry, then eats a pastry. Again, he's also watching the TV. The real servant is, I mean, how do we expect our real servant? The real servant should actually not use the resources of the master. We feel somewhat uncomfortable when our servant does these things in our house. I mean, again, in America, there is no privilege of, I mean, maid don't do this, but I'm saying in India, there is a chance of maid to perform such activities. And Baladev Budhyabhushan comments that, as I told you, real servant will not actually use the resources of the master. So Baladev Vidyabhushan helps us to understand the definition of humility by saying that humility, the real humility, means to leave sense gratification. Understanding I am the servant of Lord Krishna and he is the proprietor. That is what real humility is. We have to understand and make it part of our life and implement it and act upon it. Just not say that we are the servant. Of course, we know that we are the servant of the servant of the servant. But when it comes to actual reality, are we reflecting those is something we have to keep a check on. And he also defines humility as leaving sense gratification. Why so? Because even when you look at Prabhupada's lectures, Prabhupada talks about advancement in devotion. How is that advancement measured? Advancement in devotion is measured by how much we actually detach ourselves from the material world. And less the attachment, more is the devotion, right? Prabhupada doesn't say, okay, devotional advancement is measured by bliss or happiness. Because, again, when you say bliss and happiness, they could be relative and they could be confusing. You cannot actually measure it. It could be different for you and it could be different for me. And that will not be a good measure for us to actually measure if we are really advancing or not. And that's why Baladev Vidyabhushan here has commented that the real meaning of humility is to leave sense gratification. Moving on, freedom from lust. So the first one is humility. We talked about the three core categories of humility: kapattanya, which is superficial humility. Externally you are humble, internally there is a motive. Second is bhautik danya. That is the humility that is coming from the material platform, like formal thank yous, formal how are you doing, all that is coming from the material platform and not the spiritual platform. The third is vatsavik, which is further divided into external and internal. External is whatever we do externally, showing our respects, showing our dandavats, showing our respect for the devotee, the community, and so on and so forth. And then internal humility. Internal humility is the real humility where we actually show that there is a stage where you have come and reached and you leave the sense gratification. And the senses are always working for Krishna, like how in the case with Amrish Maharaj. We also saw the example of a servant where the servant was using the resources of the master. And our mentality should be such that we always think we are the servant of Lord Krishna, servant of the servant of servant of Lord Krishna, and that he is the proprietor or he is the supreme Lord. That should be our that is what our thinking should be. And we also saw that advancement in devotion is measured by how detached we are to this material world. Less the attachment, more the devotion. So we'll move on to freedom from lust. Vinivritta kama means desire to enjoy. Gross form of enjoyment is lust. Gross form to enjoy desire is lust. Again, if you look at the translation, what scripture actually says kama is desire. What scripture talks about? There is a specific mention that the kama translates to desire. And this is coming from Kama Sutra. When we have that humility, And when we know that God is the proprietor, there will be definitely freedom from lust also. Of course, it's a difficult thing to curtail, but it will happen slowly with our advancement in devotion service. Next is freedom from illusion. For this, we have to understand what is the definition of Maya. Everybody knows that Maya means that which is not. Again, when you ask someone what is practical definition of Maya, what does Maya actually mean? I'm not able to understand this point on what that which is not. What is it when it comes to practically defining Maya? It is nothing but misconception or assumption. We assume we are the body and we are not the soul. We assume many other things. We have seen different scriptures that Maya can do anything. Like Haridas Thakur, he was subjected to a very big trial. Bharat Maharaj, he was also. We are always tested by Maya each and every minute. And we have to carefully act upon it. Again, knowledge is necessary for us to understand which is Maya and which is not. We always hear this point. In many lectures we've heard, Maya doesn't hold us, but we are the ones who are really clinging on to Maya and holding it so strongly, and we don't want to leave the association of Maya. And this happens when we forget Krishna. When our mind is tuned to the lotus feet of Krishna, this cannot happen. And that is how freedom from illusion takes place. When we understand and have the knowledge to perceive what is Maya and what is not Maya, understand that we are always doing something favorable for Krishna consciousness, and understand when we are not able to favorably serve Krishna, and understand where Krishna, when we don't forget Krishna and we forget Krishna, understand the situation where we don't forget Krishna, and when we are in ignorance, we forget Krishna, and that's when Maya catches us. We have to always keep reminding ourselves to be alert in all situations and act attentively. Next is freedom from false association. Freedom from illusion, there are also cases where advanced devotees, they become so advanced, but then there is a chance of fall down. Even sometimes impersonal concepts come to them, and because of Krishna's mercy, they come back and progress in devotion. So it's not very easy when it comes to tackling Maya. But we have to always be alert and do attentive dealings with people, and always remember Krishna in all circumstances, and do actions that are desirable for Krishna consciousness, that are favorable for Krishna consciousness. Okay, moving on. Free from false association. Baldev Budhyabhushan actually says this means freedom from affection of wife and others. Leave the association of karmakandis, jnanakandis, non-devotees. Even extra of instruction points out that we should abandon the association of worldly-minded people. Again, if you look at it more closely, these faulty associations bind one to this material world. And I heard this from this lecture, and in that it was told, even if we have an attachment to one samosa, we have to come back to this material world. That's how crazy it is. I think the process of chanting that Mahaprabhu has given us will slowly help us to detach ourselves from the material world and focus on the goal and achieving perfection. For each one, it might be a different encounter, but the faith and knowledge forms the basis of all this. If you have strong faith, nobody can bend you, nobody can confuse you. And that happens when you have good knowledge. With good knowledge, you can accomplish anything and everything. The categories, the Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari is differentiated by the knowledge they perceive. Kanishta, they don't have faith in Krishna, but they know Krishna is the Supreme. And so they can be bent very easily. You look at Madhyama, he is the Jnana Nipun. He has knowledge, but not so great as Uttama Adhikari. But when it comes to Uttama Adhikari, he can win over any subject. He has so much knowledge that nobody can beat him in that subject. He can debate, he can comment, he can write commentaries. So that's how much knowledge he has. People are differentiated by the knowledge that they have. And when we have good knowledge about the science of Krishna consciousness, your faith will increase and you will automatically progress. And in the freedom from false association also means you have to leave the association of your own mind. Sometimes mind gives us stupid thoughts. Okay, do this, do that. We have to understand that we are not this mind, and that comes again with knowledge. That's how complicated it is. When we talk about freedom from all these things, these are not simple things, and these are not easy to do. Okay, let's free ourselves from lust. Let's free ourselves from sense gratification. It's easy to say, but difficult to implement. Then comes freedom from dualities of happiness and distress. When we are then done with all the desires, slowly what happens is we go above the dualities, that is happiness and sadness, beyond darkness and light, and beyond material conceptions. Again, as we advance, we will slowly realize and have these realizations. The next one is freedom from bewilderment. Devotees know the nature of the mind. The mind always gets, there is sanchala, right? There is always bewilderment. And since the devotee has the knowledge, he understands the mind will always get bewildered no matter what. And hence, we should not get disturbed with mind. That's freedom from bewilderment. And then, finally, know how to surrender on to the Supreme Person. According to Prabhupada, he becomes full in knowledge. Then it's possible for him to surrender on to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you look at different people, they have different conceptions and according to the material modes they are in. There will be a difference in knowledge. There will be contradictions amongst people. And our purpose is to harmonize these contradictions through wisdom and realization. So that's how we surrender. And this is very, very important in the sense people are different and everybody has a different conception to life, what perfection of life means to them, right? And that all depends on the material modes that they are in. And with a difference in knowledge, there will be contradictions with people. And what we have to do is we should have that wisdom and realization. And realization happens only when you understand, imbibe all the knowledge that is given to you, assimilate that knowledge that you have received, contemplate the knowledge that you have got, meditate upon it, and then practically apply that in your life. And when that happens, we will be able to solve all contradictions that comes to us on the path. And that's when the full realization, perfection of life happens. Hope I made some justice to this Bhagavad Gita 15.5. And if we have time, I want to go through some more things. I'm not sure. Mataji, are we okay on the time?
Yes, Mataji, please go ahead. We still have time.
Okay. Mataji, please tell me when I have to stop. I did not plan this lecture. I did not time this lecture, so kindly let me know by when I have to stop. Here, Indu Mataji, actually, when I heard the lecture, she pointed out, she described beautifully about the Lord, the appearance of the Lord, and how the Lord looked, and with his Kaustubha jewel, with the Srivatsa mark and all of that. Thank you, Indu Mataji, for such a wonderful lecture. And then I heard Vinita Mataji's lecture, Vinita Gandharvika Mataji. She was talking about the glories of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and the spiritual master. So I thought, let me bring a point on padukas. Padukas means the sandals that the Lord wears. In Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, there is this acharya called Vedanta Desikar. He's a Sri Vaishnava guru and a philosopher and one of the most brilliant stalwarts of Sri Vaishnavism in the post-Ramanuja period. He was born after Ramanuja. He was a poet, devotee, philosopher, logician, master teacher. And Vedanta Desikar is considered to be an incarnation of divine bell of Venkateshwara of Tirumalai by the Sri Vaishnavites. So I wanted to bring about, I mean, Vinita Mataji rightly talked about the lotus feet of the Lord, how important it is to surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. In Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, even the padukas or the sandal that the Lord wears has so much reverence and awe. And Sri Vaishnavas actually worship the padukas. When you go to the temple, there is something called the sadari, which the priest will put on your head. So the sadari is like a crown, and it usually rests on the lotus feet of the Lord. And what the priest does is that he would keep the sadari on your head. So that means it's equal to placing the lotus feet of the Lord on your head. And Vedanta Desikar is one of the poets, as I mentioned in the introduction. He has celebrated the glories of two padukas, that is the sandals, adorning and supporting the lotus feet of the Lord of Sri Rangam. The Sri Ranganatha Paduka Sahasram, that is the Sahasram he composed, which he includes 1008 verses in 32 chapters. And I wanted to bring up there are 1008 slokas, that 1008 verses which he has composed. And I thought, let's discuss at least about two of them and what it means and what is he trying to say from those two verses. So the first sloka is, I've quoted this from 70th sloka. He says, O Paduka, on the occasions of Bharata consoling himself while he returned to Ayodhya, without Rama, Valmiki Ramayana uses the word feet while referring to you. Evidently, your greatness is same as Rama's lotus feet without any difference whatsoever. Here, what Swami Desikan is trying to say is that Bharata's consoling words to the sorrowful citizens of Ayodhya at the time of returning back to Nandigram of Chitrakutam with the Sri Rama's padukas on his head. Bharata said, according to sage Valmiki, you are not different from the sacred feet of the Lord in glory. This is certain. There is an inner meaning to this. And the inner meaning is that the Lord himself incarnates in the form of acharyas. That's the inner meaning. And Vedanta Desikar, he has composed this 1008 verses in one night. There was the other poet who was competing with him. There was a competition that was going on. And the other poet, he could barely go up to 300 verses. And since he's the bell incarnation of the Lord, there was absolute knowledge and perfection, and still he considered himself lowly. That is how humble he was. Then moving on to 73rd sloka. 73rd sloka says, O Paduka, you are evidently much kindler to Bharata than Rama's feet were. Because when Bharata returned grief-stricken, without getting Rama back to Ayodhya, he derived in you what he asked for, and he never suffered later any disappointment. So here Swami Desikan is saying, O Paduka, you have exceeded the glory of Lord's feet through the quality of affection that you shown to those who worship you. It is because of that special quality of affection, Bharata was consoled and he was able to quell the sorrow arising from the separation of Lord Rama. So the inner meaning here is, acharyas are more merciful than the Lord themselves. The Paduka here was more merciful to Bharata, and he was totally aggravated and devastated when Rama said he was not going to come with him. But instead, Paduka, which is always in the lotus feet of the Lord, was ready to come with him and accompany him in all circumstances. And Bharata actually placed that on the throne and thought that was Rama who is ruling. The Paduka itself is the Lord's lotus feet is ruling the world, and I don't have any trouble. That was the mentality. In another sloka, he also says, Vedanta Desikar points out that this Paduka was the one who took Bharata safely to the kingdom. Without this Paduka, Bharata wouldn't have safely reached the kingdom. That is how much of importance Vedanta Desikar has given and spoken about the glories of Paduka. There is so much that he has said. I mean, he talks about Paduka's praise. There is love play between Paduka and Rama. How Lord strolls with Padukas, potency of dust from the Padukas, how he views the Padukas as the jewelry, like emeralds, sapphire, beauty of the Padukas,
what about the objects that got reflected from the padukas? He described in some verses even that lustrous surface, how the objects got reflected from the padukas and what reverence they have. So much is talked about in Ranganatha Paduka Sahasram by Vedanta Desikar. So I just wanted to bring this up because we are talking about the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord, and I thought this would be a good analogy to say that even padukas are considered as important as the lotus feet of the Lord. With that, I don't know. I think I can conclude now, or if you want, I can go through Srimad Bhagavatam, but I think we are done 5:15 here, PST. Are we good, Mataji? Can I stop here? It's 54 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you. Sure, Mataji.
Okay.
Thank you. And such an interesting, such a beautiful, eloquent presentation. Amazing, Mataji. I really like the way you started and you ended the class, speaking about how the highest goal is actually, the highest truth is love of God, and how to attain this. Love of God is through, you were talking about conquering lust, developing proper humility, the difference between real humility and fake humility, developing real knowledge, like the Uttamadhikaris who are very, very strong. And then you were talking about how Krishna sells himself to a person who has developed real love of God, glorifying Bhakti Sangha so much. And glorifying
of
the
course, Mataji. First, I have to pay my humble obeisances to all. To once again, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Tubhayecha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Without you, I am nowhere, Mataji. And all the devotees here on the call, I personally want to pay obeisances to all of you. Because of Devotee Association, I am here, and I am always indebted to all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for quoting so much from Chaitanya Charitamrita, giving examples from the life of Lord Chaitanya. Wow. And finishing off with Paduka Sahasram, that was really, really beautiful, about the glorifying the spiritual master who's like the Padukas of the Lord, who's greater than the Lord, and giving this example of how Bharat carried the Padukas to Ayodhya. And it was only by the potency of the Padukas did he even go. That is so relevant, so beautifully covered, so philosophically presented. You quoted from literally each and every acharya under the sun. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. If you have notes, I would like to see it. It's so beautifully done. Excellent class, Mataji. Very, very nice.
Thank you so much, Mataji. All glories to Guru and Gauranga. My only intention was not to waste anybody's time here on the call, and even if I did one person justification to that, I'm happy.
Very, very.
Mataji, Dhanut Pranams. First of all, you know, humble obeisances to you. You're in Pacific time, 5:15. So you're getting up and giving this class 3 hours ahead of us. So really, my humble obeisances to you for that. We are so indebted to you. And as Preeti Lasmi Mataji said, I agree every word to what she said. So beautiful, and the flow was so good. And the realizations that you presented, it's wonderful, Mataji. We are very, very fortunate to have your association. Please come on the call often. Of course, this is not a right thing that we can do to you, ask you to, you know, 3 hours get up early and do this. But maybe you can, if you're comfortable, you can talk in the 11 o'clock call also. Thank you so much, Mataji. We learned a lot today.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. It is really nice to hear from you. Thank you so much. It means a lot, Mataji. You are doing so much seva and so much. I definitely have so much respect for you, Mataji, for all that you do. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Guru and Gauranga, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Radhika Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class, so technical, about the different kind of humility and Chaitanya Charitamrita verses, Mataji. So, so beautiful, Mataji. You have lot of knowledge, Mataji. My humble obeisances to you, Mataji. So, so beautiful. I was thinking, because when you share Srimad Bhagavatam summaries in the class time, your realizations were so nice, Mataji, in-depth realizations. I was thinking such a beautiful, I think you hear a lot and you read a lot. That so shows here, Mataji. Thank you so much for a beautiful class, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
A single Bhakti Sangha lecture, not even one. And she, though she is in PSC time, she makes sure she listens to each and every recording.
Mataji, no, I am lazy, Mataji, but I try my best. And the fact is, Bhakti Sangha is bringing all erudite scholars all over the world. I mean, no doubt, Mataji, the quality of the speakers that you bring. That's why when Preeti Mataji asked me to talk, I said I'm nowhere eligible to even come near them or talk. And what I have to say when so many good speakers are there. And this Bhakti Sangha Japa has a brand name. And I just want to make sure that brand name is saved. And I get so much inspiration from you. For you, the communication and what you have to deliver automatically comes, Mataji. So, but I always think I'm nowhere close to anybody here. And thank you, Mataji. At least I got this opportunity, and I will see what I have to improve on. And slowly by Krishna's mercy, I get the realization also. Right now I am talking and repeating what has been told. But with the mercy of you devotees, I should also get the realization.
Hare Krishna, Radhika Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Guru and Srila Prabhupada. It was such an amazing class, Mataji. This was the first time of hearing your class, Mataji. But the way you explained in very detailed, Mataji, and lastly you completed a glorification of lotus feet, Mataji, and the padukas also. How important are padukas and how they are non-different from the lotus feet of the god itself. So that is very beautiful realization, Mataji. And while listening to your class, and last time when I heard Vinita Gandharika Mataji's class also, I got to remember one of our famous South Indian song, Mataji, like Annamacharya Vagyayakara, his Vagyayakara, and he sang like Brahma Kadigina Padamu. So in that also, he is glorifying the Lord Vishnu. How Lord Vishnu is, Lord Vishnu's feet are very much respectable, or not respectable, it's more than that. How Lord Brahma washes the feet of Lord Vishnu, how Lakshmi Devi massages the feet of Lord Vishnu, and how Lord Vishnu kept his lotus feet on Bali Chakravarti, then on the sky. So these are all explaining in this song, Mataji. Then I remember this song, Mataji, while you're telling, and Vintanandarika's Mataji's class also, Mataji. Thank you so much again for glorifying, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Wonderful, Mataji. Wonderful, wonderful, nice comment that you brought, Mataji. It is told that even the demigods, they long for seeing the toenails of the Lord. Then how much important is the lotus feet of the Lord? I mean, when they long to see one toenail, can I see that one nail of Lord? That itself is really great. So how much important, how much respect then should we give to the lotus feet of the Lord, right? I mean, it's amazing, yes. Mataji, how each one longs for the toenail. When I heard this in Bhagavatam, I was awestruck. Oh my God.
Yes, yes, Mataji, yes, yes. So wonderful, Mataji. And you summarize everything so beautifully in a nutshell, Mataji. I'm getting all these lessons. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your association. And as Lalitangi Mataji told, please give your classes whenever possible, Mataji. We cannot tell because you are 3 hours and perhaps 2 hours back, Mataji. But thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Radhika Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all good. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Very nicely you summarized the chapter at the beginning, and very nicely you spoke about the Paduka at the end. I really liked it, Mataji. I like your classes, but you know, you are from California and I don't want you to get up so early. See, now you is in the such a early morning, you have to give class. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your wonderful, wonderful service for the Bhakti Sangha. We are really grateful for you, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you. I am grateful to you, Mata. I am grateful to all of them in Bhakti Sangha, Mataji. It's the other way around. It's my pleasure to wake up early and give this lecture. And thanks to Preeti Mataji for always encouraging and supporting me, and no matter what. And I have to, you know, specially thank Vinita Gandharvika Mataji and Indu Mataji also for motivating me, because this is the second time I'm talking in Bhakti Sangha. I'm very obliged, Mataji.
And all credit for bringing these stalwart speakers actually goes to Shamadori Mataji. She won't leave a single stone unturned. You just catch them and bring them to Bhakti Sangha.
Thank you, Mataji, for that beautiful service. Without you, we are nowhere. And thank you so much. I totally agree. All those people that you bring in are really gems to Bhakti Sangha.
All glories to all the devotees, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Radhika Gopi. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam. How nicely you narrating Shishi Bhagavatam class. Like you and that our Gandharika Gopi is rolling in the Shidam Vrindavan Dham when you are given a class, Mataji. And I hear from Indrajana Maharaj that nobody is senior and junior in bhakti. So nicely you narrating class, especially the last Padakam, the lotus feet of Srila Spiritual Master, the lotus feet of Guru Maharaj, the lotus feet of Guru Parampara, lotus feet of Acharya, lotus feet of Shishi Radha Gopinath, mercy, without the mercy of lotus feet of Shishi Radha Gopinath or Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, our Guru Parampara and Acharya, we are not able to qualify to say anything, to speak anything. Nasika Mataji, you explained so nicely. Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Jai.
Dandavat Pranam, Mataji. I always love your inspiration. Whenever I hear to a Vaishnava song, I think about you without my conscience. I just think about you, Mataji. I just love the fact that how much love you have for the Vaishnava songs is what clear. It's always clearly evident in each call, Mataji. Thank you so much for instilling and inspiring us with the love you have for Vaishnava bhajans and Vaishnavas in general, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for a wonderful class, Mataji. It was so inspirational to me. Every day you post the classes, I am thinking that Radhika Mataji is different and Radhika Kasturi Mataji is different. I download every class you posted and I upload to Google Drive, Mataji. Thank you so much for all your services. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Radhika Kasturi, Mataji. Please, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj, and all glories to you for this wonderful, wonderful lecture this morning, Mataji. I always look forward to hearing your realizations because they come straight from your heart and it just strikes us like thunderbolt. That's what it does. Your lectures are so beautiful. Your realizations, even if it's for 5 minutes, you know, it's just so perfectly rounded. And you have it right there. You know exactly what is important. And it just shows again today, Mataji, beautiful lecture on how devotional service has to be done. And, you know, like the entire flow of how we get there. And Mataji, how you explained about Vedanta Devika, I think.
Desika, yes.
Desika, sorry.
Vedanta Desika.
Yes, yes. So inspiring, Mataji. So many things to thank you for. Seeing you and, you know, we try to learn and imitate. I should say I just try to see if I can at some point imitate you. It's not possible to learn from you because you just constantly... Oh, you are so full of realizations. It's just amazing. Very, very beautiful, Mataji. And just like what you said, you know, without Vrinda Gopika Mataji and Kaumodaki Mataji's inspiration, it's not possible to give a lecture or a class or enjoy Vaishnava bhajans, especially. I know how it's so hard for me. I don't connect with singing at all, but Vrinda Gopika Mataji's message always tells me, okay, it reminds me, even Anjana Gopika Mataji, you know, they constantly tell us that is the best way to get that love for Lord. Mataji, mm-hmm. So in that light, totally. Would you be able to share a song? It sounded like you sing so beautifully, Mataji.
This is the first time. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Sorry?
No, this is the first time I'm hearing this comment, Mataji, because my house is full of musicians. My son is a Carnatic singer. My husband plays violin. And whenever I sing, I get the comment, please stop. Please, let's listen to music, you know, from iPad or iPhone. This is the first time somebody has told me, I mean, you didn't hear me sing, Mataji. That's why you...
We heard you chanting. The way you recited the words is so beautiful.
No problem, Mataji. I can sing Vrinda Devi Ashtakam if you want. Maybe how many verses, Mataji? 3 verses, if that's okay.
Preeti Vilasni Mataji, Shama Gauri Mataji, please.
Or 2 verses based on the time, Mataji.
Go for
3. Okay, Mataji.
Ganje Champe Atadidvininti Rochi Pravahas Napitat Mavrinde Banduka Bandu Duty Devya Vasi Vrinde Namaste Charanaravintam Bimbar Harodvi Twaramandya Hasya Nesha Gramukta Duty Deepyatasye Vichitra Ratna Baranashriyade Vrinde Namaste Charanaravintam Namasta Vaikunta Shiro Mano Shri Krishnasya Vrindavana Danya Dhamni Datta Adhikare Rishabhanu Putriya Vrinde Namaste Charanaravindam.
Jai Ho, Pati Devi Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai.
Jai.
Thank you
so much, Mataji.
All the rest of the Prabhupada and Guru Devi.
Jai, beautiful.
Mataji, so beautiful, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vinita Gandhika, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
You just sang so quickly, so spontaneously. Amazing, Mataji. And all glories to all the services you're doing for Bhakti Sangha, Mataji. Thank you so much. Unending, tireless service, morning, night, every time. You just keep sending the recordings. Of all the classes, it's not just one. So thank you so much. It's a very hard
thank
work.
You, Mataji. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for knowing such inspiring devotees like you. I mean, thanks to Bhakti Sangha. I have a big family here. And, you know, when I initially came to the U.S., I was heartbroken. I left all my family members, relatives there. And I think after 15 years or 16 years, I've got a big family now. And I'm really thankful. For the family I have, who I can always trust and who I can always share and understand and express my opinion and thoughts to them. Really happy about this, Mataji. The whole family that we have, all the speakers, I'm able to identify you by your voice. That's because I'm closely associated with you. Even though we are all virtual, I definitely feel that connection, Mataji. Definitely feel it. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hari Bol, Mataji. Hari Bol.
So true about Bhakti Sangha, Mataji. Thank you so much for glorifying so much to Bhakti Sangha. Thank you, Mataji. All glories to Bhakti Sangha. Yes, Mataji. We are all becoming, what do you call, we are getting Bhakti through Bhakti Sangha, Mataji. It has been more like closer to more than 1.5 years or closer to 2 years it's coming that I'm regularly joining. The level of devotion that I've increased or the family that I've got is very, very sweet, Mataji, here.
they gave motivation, they gave us everything, Mataji, the support, the care, love, affection that we are getting in Bhakti Sangha will not get nowhere, Mataji. Everywhere outside it's full of material, Mataji. People try to show love by expecting something from us, but here I never saw that kind of expectations from anybody so far. I really, really love this Sangha, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So true, Mataji. Mataji, I'm sorry. I don't want to take any more of your time, Mataji. You can go on with Varajamandal Parikrama. I mean, is that okay, Mataji?
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Margana Mata Krishna.
And give to Mama.
Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for your valuable
time. One question,
and
Mataji. Can I end the stream now? I can end the stream, the YouTube live, right?
Sure, sure, Mataji. End it, Mataji. End it.
End it. Okay, okay.
Thank you so much, Radhika Mataji, for your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. Is Mamata Mataji on the call? Can we continue now this mandal parikrama?
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Yes, Mataji. You know, Lavanya Mataji will share the reading with me today. So, Lavanya Mataji, please start, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Yes, Mataji. Yeah. Hare Krishna, I think we can keep the stream on because there was some issue with the audios, right, in FCC? Or I'll start the stream and I'll leave it. Okay. Carry on, Mamata, Lavanya Mataji.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for the opportunity to read Navadeep Mandal Parikrama today. Thank you, Mamata Mataji and Kripalas Mataji. I'll start with the prayers. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavranda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Shruti is blessed by Lord Gauranga. In this garden, the Upanishads worshipped Sri Gauranga for a long time. Sri Gaurahari, by means of an unseen sound vibration, informed them that their knowledge had been contaminated by the understanding of impersonalism. None of you will attain me in this form of Shruti. When you appear as my associates during my manifested pastimes, then you will all see me. At that time, all of you will glorify my qualities. Hearing this, the Shrutis kept quiet and stayed here, secretly waiting for a suitable time. Lord Nityananda dispels the doubts of Sri Jiva. Sri Jiva inquired from Sri Nityananda Prabhu in order to remove his doubts. The knowledge of Sankhya and logic is very inauspicious. How then did these sciences remain here in the eternal Dhamma? Hearing his question, Nityananda embraced Jiva very affectionately and said, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. In the holy abode of the Lord, there is nothing inauspicious. Logic and Sankhya are not so powerful or prominent here independently. They stay here as the servants of bhakti and trap some wicked people who are suffering the results of their bad karma. Bhakti is Mahadevi here and all others are her servants. Everyone here assists in manifesting bhakti. In Navadvipa, 9 kinds of devotional service exist. Here karma and jnana serve bhakti. Shastra serves to further contaminate the intelligence of those who are adverse to Krishna. But to gentlemen, the same Shastra gives attachment to Sri Krishna. Praudha Maya is the predominating deity here. Every yuga, she remains engaged as the servant of Gauranga in this holy abode. If someone becomes averse to the Vaishnavas due to bad karma, Maya makes him blind and gives him much suffering. All sins and all karma are destroyed here by Praudha Maya in her transcendental form. But if someone is offensive to Vaishnavas, Praudha Maya removes him from here. Those wicked people, even though they may possess vast knowledge, still do not attain love at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. They receive avidya and therefore do not see Sri Gauranga and the opulence of Nadia. Therefore, Vidya is not inauspicious. Only the avidya, the shadow portion of Vidya, is inauspicious. Dear Jiva, all these truths will become apparent to you by the mercy of Sri Gauranga and by the will of the Lord. He will mention all this in the many scriptures that will manifest through you. Worship Radha and Krishna and remain indifferent to sense gratification. By the mercy of the devotees, the name and the dhamma, keep undesirable association far away. Soon you will attain residence in the eternal dhamma where pure service to Radha and Krishna manifests. Hearing these instructions of Bhishma Deva, I will offer my full obeisances at his feet. After blessing me, he will disappear, and weeping, I will proceed to Mother. Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry, Mataji. I think I...
Yeah, Mataji, Janudvip, right? Now new chapter.
Yeah, started. I have to. Yeah. How the Ganga became known as Janavi. Lord Nityananda, along with other devotees, entered Jannagara, and they witnessed the beauty of the Tapovana hermitage where Janu Muni resided. Lord Nityananda said, "This island known as Janudipa is non-different from Bhadravana of Rajamandala. At this place, Janu Muni performed tapasya, causing Lord Gauranga to appear in front of him in his golden form. Here, Janu Muni used to chant his Gayatri mantra as the Bhagirathi river was flowing near his ashrama. Once the Muni's Achamana cup and spoon fell into the powerful river and were carried away by the strong current of the Bhagirathi, Janu Muni was furious and drank the entire Ganga. Naturally, King Bhagiratha was disturbed by this and thought, where did Ganga disappear to? He became very worried when he came to know that Janu Muni had drunk all the water of the Ganga. King Bhagiratha then worshipped Janu Muni for some time to please him. Being pleased with the king, Janu Muni cut his thigh and let Ganga flow out from his body. Since then, her name was being Janavi, and she became famous as the daughter of Janu Muni. Somewhere else it has been mentioned that the Ganga flowed from Sage Janu's ear. Lord Gauranga manifested to Janu Muni. Janu Dvipa is also known as Jan Nagara. Ishana Thakura told Srinivasa, previously this place was known as Janadvipa. Janu Muni used to reside here in Navadvipa very happily. Once he thought, this Kali Yuga is more blessed than other Kali Yugas because Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will appear. He, along with the dear devotees of all his incarnations, will descend in this Navadvipa Dhamma during the first part of Kali Yuga. He will accept an incomparable golden bodily lustre, and his bodily movements will be very pleasing. He will perform many wonderful pastimes in Navadvipa. Will my desire be fulfilled to see these nectarian pastimes of the Lord? His mind fixed in meditation with great bliss, the Muni worshipped Sri Gaurachandra, who attracts the entire universe by his beauty. When the sage closed his eyes, the merciful Lord appeared within his heart. The Lord revealed himself in his beautiful form of Shyamasundara, attracting everyone in three worlds. His body was gracefully bent in three places, and a peacock feather decorated his head. He was playing his flute, which he held gently in his hand, and his most beautiful face was dazzling. While the sage was beholding this form, he saw the Lord transform into a young sannyasi. The Lord in his sannyasi form was holding a danda and a kamandalu water pot in his hand, and his head was shaved without any shikha. He was wearing saffron-colored cloth and a paupina. The radiance of his body defeated the glare of millions of suns. When the Muni saw this, he could not control himself anymore, and he opened his eyes. Upon doing so, he saw the Lord standing in front of him face to face. The Lord's beautiful curling hair was making everyone mad. Many dazzling ornaments decorated his body, the effulgence of which lit the universe. Even gold appeared without luster in comparison to this glow. His bodily movements destroyed the pride of millions of Kandarpas. By seeing this form, Janu Muni experienced great bliss and ecstasy. Seeing the sage in this condition, Sri Gaurahari pacified him by his mercy. Janu Muni fell at the lotus feet of the Lord in great bliss and washed his lotus feet with tears pouring from his eyes. he offered many prayers standing in front of the Lord and fixed his eyes on his lotus face. The Lord embraced him again and again, saying, "All of your desires will be fulfilled." The Lord then disappeared, and by his desire, Jaunamuni regained his composure. He began to praise his good fortune. After all these days, finally my austerity has been successful. The Muni then looked in all directions with a great desire to behold the glories of Nadia. He began constantly chanting the glories of Nadia Chandra, Sri Gauranga, day and night. His body was smeared with dust and soaked with his tears. Jaunamuni lived at this place with great pleasure, and therefore this place is known as Jaunadipa. Ishana Thakura continued, "My heart breaks to remember the sweet pastimes Lord Gaurachandra performed in Jaunadipa. There was a nice flower garden here, which people would say was the place of austerity of Jaunamuni. By seeing this place, one will become free from all suffering and develop pure bhakti onto the lotus feet of Sri Prabhu." Next, Bhishmatila. Bhishmadeva, the son of King Shantanu, was born from his mother Ganga Devi at this place. He then studied with Brihaspati in the heavenly planets. When his studies were completed, Ganga Devi brought him back to earth and left him in the care of his father. At this time, Bhishma came to see his maternal grandfather Jaunamuni, and he was told that Lord Chaitanya would appear in Navadvipa Dhamma. Jaunamuni also instructed him on religious principles, political science, the Supreme Lord, and devotional service. While Bhishma was lying on his deathbed of arrows at Kurukshetra, he spoke about the appearance of Lord Gauranga. Bhishmadeva performed austerities and received darshan of Lord Chaitanya. The Lord informed Bhishma that he would attain Navadvipa in the future and that he would teach King Yudhishthira the highest knowledge at the time of death. Bhishmadeva is the son of Ganga Devi. Since Ganga Devi appeared from Jaunamuni, she became his daughter, and thus Jaunamuni became the grandfather of Bhishmadeva. After some time, Bhishmadeva came here to meet with his grandfather and grandmother. Jaunamuni very affectionately kept Bhishmadeva at his ashrama for a long period, during which he taught him about dharma. Bhishma passed this knowledge on to Yudhishthira while lying on the battlefield of Kurukshetra on a bed of arrows. While staying in Navadvipa, Bhishmadeva received bhakti and therefore became famous as a great Vaishnava. The island of Jaunadipa is therefore very purifying. Only the most fortunate people eternally reside here. That day, Lord Nityananda, along with his associates, stayed in Jaunadipa in the house of the devotees. The next morning, he took all the devotees to the Modadruma Dvipa. Sri Modadruma Dvipa. This island represents Dasyam, becoming a servant. Places to visit on this island are Sri Vrindavana Dasa Thakura's Sri Pata, Vasudeva Datta Sri Pata, Sri Saranga Murari Sri Pata, and Arkatila. In Navadvipa Bhava Taranga, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura writes, "After receiving the blessings of Bhishmadeva at Bhishmatila, I will weep and proceed towards Modrumadruvipa. Modrumadi is non-different from Sri Vandiravana of Vraja. There all animals and birds are transcendental. These birds constantly chant the holy name of Sri Gaurahari and Sita Rama, sitting on the branches of beautiful trees. In Bhandiravana, there are many banyan trees mercifully providing shade, beautifying the area and blocking the sun. When will the pastimes of Sri Balarama and Sri Krishna manifest to my eyes? While roaming and enjoying the beauty of the forest, I will suddenly see the hermitage of Sri Ramachandra. I will see Lord Ramachandra in his saffron cloth, along with Sri Lakshmana and Sita Devi by his side. Upon seeing that most attractive form of the Lord, I will fall unconscious in the forest. Symptoms of prema will manifest on my body and I will no longer be able to speak. I will just drink the beauty of that form to the full satisfaction of my eyes. Being merciful upon me, Sri Lakshmana, the younger brother of Lord Ramachandra, will come to me slowly and put his lotus feet upon my head. He will give me some fruits and say, 'Dear son, please take these fruits. We are now living in the forest, and these fruits are our only wealth, which with which to treat our guests. Thus the pastime will end and their lordships will disappear. In separation, I will weep and eat the fruits. Will I ever see that Navadurva Dala form, greenish like fresh grass, again? Aha, that Bandiravana is the land of spiritual gems. My heart cries ceaselessly, leaving that forest. There Sri Balarama and Sri Krishna performed many pastimes on the pretext of herding the cows. And in the same forest, Gaurachandra becomes intoxicated while performing Sankirtana along with his devotees. Lord Ramachandra visited Modadrumadipa. Modadrumadipa is known as Mamgachi. Lord Nityananda went to Mamgachi village along with all the devotees. Lord Nityananda said, this Modadrumadipa is non-different from Ayodhya. During the previous Kalpa, when Lord Rama went to live in the forest, he came to this place along with Lakshmana and Sita Devi. They built a cottage under a great banyan tree and stayed there happily for a few days. Upon seeing the effulgence of Navadvipa, Sri Raghunandana Ramachandra smiled. He looked very beautiful in his Navadurva Dalasyama form. Rajiva Lochana, the lotus-eyed lord, was holding a bow and arrows and was dressed like an ecstatic brahmachari with matted locks on his head. Everyone's mind was attracted just by seeing him. When Sita Devi saw the smiling face of Lord Ramachandra, she asked, what is the cause of your smiling? Lord Ramachandra replied, O Sita, daughter of King Janaka, please listen to this very confidential story. In the future, when the most blessed Kali Yuga comes, I will appear here in Nadia in a golden yellow form. I will take birth as Gauranga from the womb of Sachi in the house of Jagannatha Mishra as their son. All those fortunate people who see my childhood pastimes will receive transcendental love. At the time, I will enjoy Vidya Rasa, the pastime of education. I will reveal the glories of Sri Nama, the holy name. After that, I will accept the order of Sannyasa and go to Neelachala. My mother will cry, placing her daughter-in-law on her lap. Hearing this, Sita Devi said, O Rajiva Lochana, why will you make your mother cry? Why will you accept Sannyasa, leaving aside your wife? I do not understand what pleasure you will receive by giving suffering to your wife. Sri Ramachandra replied, my darling, although you know everything, you are asking a seemingly ignorant question. One can release Prema Bhakti onto me in two different ways. One can experience the pleasure of Prema Bhakti in union with me, known as Sambhoga, and the pleasure my devotees experience by being separated from me is known as Vipralamba. My devotees always desire to be united with me, but by my mercy, they also achieve Vipralamba Bhava. In Vipralamba, whatever suffering one undergoes is for me only. Whatever suffering a devotee goes through in Vipralamba, due to me, he accepts with great relish. For at the end of Vipralamba, when Sambhoga is attained, Mataji, is it in the next page or no? Okay, yeah. My devotee enjoys a million times greater pleasure. In this way, separation from me is also the cause of pleasure. Therefore, my devotees accept this state of separation. This has been explained in the Vedas. During the time of my Gauranga Avatara, Mother Kausalya will appear as Sachi Devi, who is described in the Vedas as Aditi. During that time, you will serve me as Vishnupriya. In the future, feeling separation from you, I will worship you in your golden deity form in Ayodhya Nagara. In return, you will worship my golden Gauranga Murti form in Nadia Nagara. Sita Devi, this is a very confidential topic. At present, this subject will not be revealed to the people in general. This Navadvipa is very dear to me. Even other dhamas like Ayodhya are not equal to this dhamma. This Ramavata tree of which we have taken shelter will disappear from the vision of the people when Kali Yuga begins, but will remain here in an invisible form. Lord Nityananda continued, in this way, Rama, Sita and Lakshmana stayed here in Modadrumadvipa for a few days and then went to Dandaka forest to perform their duty. Here you can see the kutira of Lord Ramachandra. I'll stop here, Mataji. Thank you so much. You can continue, Mataji. Yeah. Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Very nice reading, Lavanya, Mataji. I'll continue from Guhak Raja, appeared as Sadhanand and saw Lord Gauranga, non-different from Sri Ramchandra. Lord Nityanand said, by the desire of Lord Guhaka Raja, the friend of Ramchandra, took birth here as the son of Brahmana. His name was Sadhanand Bhattacharya, and he knew nothing except Ramchandra and the three worlds. On the very day that my Lord Gauranga appeared in Mayapur, Sadhanand was present in the house of Jagannath Mishra. At the time of Lord's appearance, all the demigods descended at that place to take darshan of the infant form of Lord. The great sadhaka Vipra Sadhanand could recognize that the demigods had come to take darshan of the baby, and thus he understood that his Lord had taken birth. With great curiosity, Sadhanand returned to his house. When he meditated upon Ishtadeva, he saw Gaur Chandra sitting on the altar while the demigods, including Brahma, were offering puja to the Lord. Then he saw again Lord Ramachandra sitting next to Lakshman, the abode of Sri Ananta. On the left side, Sita Devi was seated and Bhakta Hanuman was positioned in front of him. By seeing this, Sadhanand realized that Gauranga was none other than his Lord Ramchandra. With great pleasure, Sadhanand Vipra would go regularly to Mayapur and take darshan of Gauranga to his heart's content. He would say, I am blessed. My Lord Ramchandra is present here in front of me in form of God Gauranga. After some time, when Mahaprabhu started the Sankirtan pastime, Sadhanand was dancing there, chanting the holy names of Gauranga. O Jiva, pure devotees see this place as Bhandirvana. Hearing all these descriptions from Lord Nityanand, the devotees started to dance and chant surrounding Nityanand Prabhu. Symptoms of Ashtasatvika Vikara manifested in the body of Sri Jiva. He started shouting, Hey Gauranga! Hey Gauranga! That day Lord Nityanand stayed there happily in the house of Narayani, the most chaste lady, the mother of Vyasadeva, that is Vrindavan Das Thakur, served all the Vaishnavas personally. The next day, all devotees went to Sri Vaikunthapura. Next, we go to Sita Devi, sees the Gauranga form of Lord Ramchandra. Ishan Thakur along with Srinivas went to Mogachi from Janagara. Mogachi is today known as Mamagachi. Previously, this place was known as Modadrumadvipa. Ishan Thakur gives the following explanation as to why this place was called Modadrumadvipa, according to what he had heard from elderly people. Sri Ramachandra, the son of Kaushalya, left Ayodhya to live in the forest in order to follow the vow of his father Dashratha. The Lord gave up his royal dress and with great pleasure traveled from forest to forest along with his wife Janaki and brother Lakshman. His lotus feet were very soft and tender, and to protect him, whichever path he walked on became very soft so that the Lord would feel no pain. Rain, wind, sunshine, all were very favorable. Thus, the Lord performed his very wonderful pastime of traveling, which cannot be compared to anything on this earth planet. While he was traveling, the people of different countries were mad to see his beauty. Wherever the Lord resided, forest or mountain became a Mahatirath. North of this place, the Lord was staying inside the cave in the mountain. Even today, people still visit that place, which frees them from all kind of suffering. O Srinivas, while they're traveling like this, Lord Ramchandra arrived here. Walking in front was Lord Ramchandra, in the middle Sita Devi, and behind Lakshman. Everyone was happy to see them, even the birds and animals. Lord Ramchandra, who is also known as Rajiv Lochan, is worshipped by the great demigods like Brahma. The Lord was looking around and walking like an elephant. He observed Navadvip from some distance and started to smile with great curiosity. When Sita Devi saw Lord Ramchandra's sweet smiling face, she asked him what was causing his smiling. Lord Ramchandra replied, at the end of Dwapar Yuga, during the first part of Kali Yuga, there will be great enjoyment here in Navadvip.
I will perform wonderful pastimes here and then take sannyas. As I am traveling now, in the same way, I will also travel at that time. Therefore, I was smiling, remembering all this. Hearing the words of Lord Ramchandra, Janaki Devi spoke with the folded hands. Oh my Lord, please tell me what kind of pastimes you will have in Nadia. The Lord replied, I will take birth in a Brahmana family. During my childhood, I will exhibit many restless and playful pastimes. I will accept the most wonderful yellow bodily color which has no comparison. Just by looking at me, the whole world will become intoxicated. I will become very scholarly and the glories of my learning will spread all over the world. I will marry twice. Just as I am offering pinda to my father in the Gaya now, I will offer my pinda in Gaya according to local custom when my father leaves his body. I will increase the happiness of devotees in Navadvip by preaching Sankirtan, which is rarely witnessed even by Brahma. After all this, I will pacify all my close associates and take sannyas to travel to other places. Hearing this, Janaki Devi smiled and said, if you take sannyasa, then why should you marry? In my opinion, this is not proper. Being most merciful, how can you be so cruel? Lord Ramchandra felt embarrassed hearing these words from Sita Devi. Then the Lord said, you do not know that I always reside in Navadvip. While talking in this way, Lord Ramchandra reached this place in the company of Janaki Devi and Lakshman. There was a huge banyan tree here, and they all stood in the vast shade of the tree. Again, Janaki Devi asked, my Lord, what kind of pleasure will you derive from Sankirtan here in Nadia? Lord Ramchandra said, first close your eyes. Janaki Devi closed her eyes and she saw the wonderful pastime of Lord in Nadia. There is no limit to chanting, dancing and playing instruments in Nadia. And there were innumerable devotees of the Lord gathered, creating a scene that is without comparison. She saw the form of Gaurasundar in the midst of his own associates. The Lord was in his Kishora age, adolescence, and appeared like an ocean of rasa or mellows. The whole world was overwhelmed by his different styles of dancing. By seeing that most beautiful scene, Sita Devi could not control herself anymore. When she opened her eyes, she saw her Lord in front of her. Lord Ramachandra smiled and pacified her. Sumitra Nandan, Lord Lakshman knows all truth, and he also became impatient, desiring to remember the Lord's pastimes in Nadia. At this place, everyone's pleasure was increased and the incident took under a place under a tree. Therefore, this island is known as Moda Drumadvipa. Lord Ramachandra, Sita Devi and Lakshman became very pleased with everyone and anyone who comes to visit this Moda Drumadvipa. O Srinivas, this place is also known as Ramavat. Vata means a banyan tree. With the arrival of Kalyuga, this tree disappeared. From here, Lord Ramachandra, along with Sita Devi and Lakshman, went to Utkal, Odisha, with great happiness. When they entered Utkala, they were very pleased to see the beauty of the country. On the bank of the river Suvarnarekha, Lord Rama established a Shivling by name of Rameshwar. Most fortunate people take darshan of that Shivling to experience great pleasure. From there, Lord Ramachandra traveled from forest to forest, performing wonderful activities everywhere. Next, we come to Lord Ramachandra appeared as Lord Gauranga. Ishan Thakur continued, in the Maguchi village called village, Lord Sri Gaurasundara exhibited a wonderful pastime, which was not visible to other people. There was one Vipra living at this place who was a great worshipper of Lord Ramachandra. That Vipra was present in the house of Jagannath Mishra on the day Vishwambar took birth. At that time, all the demigods were glorifying the occasion, saying, Jai, Jai. This Vipra was a little puzzled to see so many other Vipras present there and thought to himself that this Lord must definitely have appeared. This Jagannath Mishra must be King Dasharath, And Sachi Mata must be Kaushalya herself, the mother of all creation. Stunned, he left the house of Jagannath Mishra without saying anything to anyone. He returned to his own house. While he was meditating upon the worshipable Lord Ramachandra in his greenish Durvadala form, he saw the wonderful golden form of the son of Jagannath Mishra. While seeing this, he fell asleep and his dream Lord Gaurhari appeared to him. His bodily effulgence defeated even the splendor of golden mirror. His beautiful face was mocking the beauty of the moon. His arms extended to his knees. His chest was very broad and his eyes reached to the ears, making the Lord very attractive. He had beautiful, fine, curling hair and his head was decorated with a variety of flower garlands. His neck was surrounded with most wonderful Brahminical threads. His body was so beautiful that no one can even compare it to another in this world. The Lord was sitting on Ratna Simhasan, and before him, many demigods led by Brahma were offering prayers. As the Vipra was looking upon the scene with great joy, he suddenly saw that Gaurchandra had changed to Navadurvadala form of Lord Ramachandra. The son of Kaushalya was pleasing the whole world with his most attractive royal dress. He was smiling, holding a bow and arrow in his hand. On the left of Ramachandra, Sita Devi was standing and Lakshman was holding an umbrella. In front of them was Hanuman, the son of Vayudev, was sitting with folded hands in a humble posture. Upon witnessing this beautiful form of Lord Ramachandra, the Vipra fell to the ground, offering repeated obeisances. Bhaktavatsala Prabhu, Lord Ramachandra, in the storehouse of good qualities. And he blessed the Vipra abundantly before disappearing. Being deprived of the Lord's darshan, the Vipra woke up and became very worried. Losing control of its senses, seeing the situation, the Lord appeared to him again and consoled him and forbade him to reveal this to anyone. This Vipra was just pacified and very pleased. He did not say anything to anyone but his darshan of Sri Gaurchandra. Ishan Thakur concluded, "This old Vipra, due to being merciful upon me, revealed this fact to me in a solitary place at the time of his death. What can I say about his wonderful qualities? Just see the residence of this Vipra. By seeing this place, one becomes free from the fear of material existence. Here Lord Gaurchandra manifested his Lord Ramchandra pastimes, which I have personally seen." So Mataji, can we stop here for today?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah.
Yes, Mataji.
Thank you so much. We have few pages left. We'll be able to finish those tomorrow. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. वंशा कल्पतरुभ्यः पतितानां पावनेभ्यः नवद्वीप धाम परिक्रमा की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।